Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. Welcome to Practical Kingdom Living, a series of teaching that we've been doing from the book of Proverbs. And today we want to look at Proverbs chapter 3 and then from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Now, in practical kingdom living, it is important for you to differentiate between God's ways and your ways. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible tells us that we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts. That is talking about our going for the kingdom ways. Are going for the kingdom ways of God. This one is as against leaning on your own understanding, which is the religious ways of men. So, in order to live the practical kingdom life, you have to be able to distinguish between what is God's kingdom understanding and what is your religious understanding. Okay? Now, if you read the book of Matthew chapter 16 and then verse 23, you will see a New Testament version, allow me to put it this way, of what we have just read, the kingdom ways and then the religious ways. The religious ways are your own ways. Religion is man's own way of trying to please God. Man's own way of trying to serve God. Human beings have their own initiative out of their spirit, out of their heart to serve God. Now, in Matthew 16 verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God." Please underline mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Okay, so over here you see the things of God, all right, and then the things of men. The things of men is talking about man's own religious way of trying to reach out to God, of trying to please God. And then the things of God refers to God's ways, God's kingdom ways. Now, in order for us to live this practical kingdom life, our mind must be full of the kingdom understanding of issues. Kingdom understanding of issues. Hallelujah. Your mind must be full of that in order for you to practically live it out. Because if your mind is not full of it, you cannot practically live out the kingdom life. Hallelujah. In this scripture, Peter, who was the head of the apostles and the right-hand man of Jesus, got it wrong. He was full of the things of men. What are the things of men that he exhibited? Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him because Jesus had said that he was going to die. And Peter felt that no, it is not right for him to die. And so he was rebuking Jesus that this shall not happen to you. You shall not die. And Jesus Christ reacts to him in a certain way. Tells him, "Get behind me, Satan, because your mind is too full of the things of men." Hallelujah. Now, we have to fill our mind with the things of God. Because in this context, the things of God was for Jesus to go and die on the cross. That was what had been agreed in the kingdom above, for him to exemplify it or live it out in the kingdom below. But Peter said that no, you shall not do that. Because he loved Jesus and he felt that no, this thing should not happen to Jesus. There are times that we think that God is wrong, you know. There are times that in our own understanding we feel that the ways of God, they are not correct. They are not going to help him. We think that they are not going to, it's funny. We think that, no, if God continues this way, what will happen to his work on this earth? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. You know, that was Peter's attitude. He felt that, Jesus, if you go and die, you don't know what is going to happen to you. Your disciples are going to scatter. You cannot continue this kind of assignment that God has put you in. Wonderful assignment. But Jesus knew that he had to go and die. It had been written, it had been decreed in the annals of heaven for him to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let us watch, because sometimes in our own zeal for God, especially if we take ourselves as the right-hand man of God. You know, Peter had just been told by Jesus that he was going to be given the keys of the kingdom and things like that. You know, so he felt that, no, he was very crucial as far as Jesus' agenda is concerned. Sometimes we can feel that way, and then we'll be filled with our own understanding of issues, you know, but we have to look for God's understanding. So the Bible says that in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct you. Because if you follow your own understanding, if you follow your own ways, you are going to run into a ditch. You are going to run into issues. Now I want us to look at the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then verse number 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. The Bible is telling us that we should rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, we should look into the Bible, yes, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, yes, but in looking into the Bible, we should rightly divide. What it means is that everything has been lumped together. Everything has been put together. So it requires a division. You have to divide. But in dividing, you have to divide it rightly. Because if you don't divide it rightly, you will not know the things of God, and you will not know the things which are of man. So it is important for you to rightly divide the word of truth. Sometimes we are guilty of dividing the word, but not dividing it properly. We have to be able to divide the word between religion and kingdom, between man's ways of trying to please God and then God's way he wants us to please him. We have to be able to divide the Bible between what mankind was before Jesus died and what mankind is after he died. Hallelujah. You have to be able to divide that one very well, because there are some things that transpired before the death of Jesus. Now, if you should rightly divide the word of truth, it is truth, all right, but you should be able to divide it so rightly so that you can know which one is a kingdom truth that you must walk in, or which one is a religious truth that you must walk in. Hallelujah. It is important, because, ladies and gentlemen, kingdom truth or kingdom understanding is any understanding that promotes the person, the principle, and the performance of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. So you must always ask yourself that this understanding that I have, does it promote Jesus or it promotes somebody else? Hallelujah. I'm talking about the person of Jesus, not the things of Jesus. Does it promote his person? Does it focus me on his person? Or it focuses me on Jesus in somebody else? Hallelujah. It focused me on somebody else. It should focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. You have to ask yourself, the understanding that I have, does it promote Jesus's principles, the principles that he stood for, the principles that he stands for now? Hallelujah. For example, you can ask yourself whether the understanding you have agrees with Jesus's principles now. What is this? One of his principles now? One of his principles now is the fact that he took away all our sins, and so he regards us as righteous people. He regards you, he regards me as righteous. That is what he stands for. That is what he stands for now. That is his principle now. So he sees you as righteous even if you sin. Hallelujah. He still sees you as righteous, because righteousness is a position that he has put you in. And so he sees you even if you are a believer and you are sinning, as still righteous. And that is what he says about you. So what you should also think to conform with his kingdom understanding is to think that I am righteous. Why is it that a righteous person is sinning? Why is it that I am righteous but I'm doing this? You should think that, oh, because he sees me as righteous, it is not befitting for me to stoop into this gutter of sin. Hallelujah. Then your understanding is synchronizing. It's a kingdom understanding. But a religious understanding doesn't think this way. It doesn't see you this way. It will say that, let's be real, let's be practical. Like Peter was saying, Jesus, be real, be practical. If you die, there's going to be commotion among your people, your followers. I mean, people are going to scatter. Actually, after Jesus, when Jesus died, he said, I'm going a fishing. And people said they were going a fishing. About six of them went a fishing, you know. But Jesus wants us to go by an understanding that promotes what he stands for, the principles that he stands for. Hallelujah. Let me give you another example. Before Jesus Christ resurrected, after he resurrected, that some of the apostles doubted him. Doubted. Yeah, they doubted. According to the book of Matthew 28, some of them doubted. But can you imagine that Jesus never spoke about a doubt? He never spoke about a doubt. Was he condoning their doubt and all that? No, on top of it, he gave them the great commission that go and do the work. Hallelujah. It's not as if Jesus was condoning it. It is because he was living by a certain principle, the principle of the fact that he has taken away their sins. And so he never saw those things upon them. Rather, he gave them a commission that would take them out of their doubts. Hallelujah. Now, in dealing with people in your practical kingdom life, sometimes you can see somebody doing something which is all right. Like doubting. Doubting is a very bad sin. You know that. But instead of talking about the fact that the person is a doubting person or is doubting and all that, what can you do? You can give the person a commission that touches on the fact that he is righteous. For him to come to an awareness of the fact that he is righteous. Then what has happened? You have not compromised your principles, and you have at the same time overcome the sin in the person, the sin that the person is living in. Hallelujah. By making the person understand or see his position or her position from God's principle, from God's perspective, from the principles by which Jesus Christ lives or believes in now. Hallelujah. So it is important for us to examine our lives practically, our attitudes to people practically, and see whether it is synchronizing, agreeing with a kingdom understanding that is promoting the principles of Jesus, what he lives by and what he stands by. Hallelujah. There is one thing, the Holy Spirit never does anything to contradict Jesus's principles. There's no way the Holy Spirit can lead you to say something, to do something on an assumption of the fact that a believer is not righteous. No. The Holy Spirit always convicts believers of righteousness.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. That is important for us to see, so that we will synchronize our attitude to people with the principles that Jesus Christ lays by. And then we look at His performance. Jesus' performance is superb, immaculate on the cross for us, by which we receive all the wonderful things of life. So instead of looking at people, relating with people, and seeing them as people who are not glorious, people who are sick and all that, you can see them from Jesus' kingdom view, kingdom understanding, that their sickness has been taken away. Hallelujah. So Jesus will not call them sick anymore. He will say that they are healed. Hallelujah. And so when you are, for example, practically praying for somebody, like a believer or even an unbeliever, you pray from the perspective of the fact that the person is healed. He is a healed person, you know. He is a healthy person who has sickness trying to infiltrate him. Not that he is a sick person who must get healing or who must get health. Hallelujah. We must always synchronize with the way Jesus Christ sees things. Because when He took our sicknesses on Himself, He knows that the sicknesses which are assailing His children, humanity, they are not proper sicknesses, so to speak. He will look at the same sick people and say that, rise up and walk. Because He sees them as people who are not lame, but who are capable of doing that which they didn't do before. They could not do before. So our kingdom understanding is the one that must promote Jesus's performance for us. It must not downplay it in any way, not in our preaching, not in our prayers, not in our teaching. It must exalt the kingdom understanding. So he says that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe that you are healed. Believe that you are righteous. Believe that your sister is righteous. Your brother by you, I'm talking about the believer, is righteous. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe His report that He has said that we are prosperous. Hallelujah. That is how He sees us. That is how our understanding must be. Wow. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and then verse number 4 and 5. Romans chapter 8 verse 4 and then verse 5. Okay? It says that for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You remember what Jesus told Peter, that you are mindful of the things of men. Your mind is full of the things of the flesh, of the things of human beings, of the understanding of human beings. So the Bible is affirming it. The Holy Spirit says that those who live according to the flesh, that is their bad nature, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Please underline, set their minds. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, in order for us to live a practical kingdom life, we need to understand religious understanding and kingdom understanding. And then, we need to deliberately set our mind on kingdom understanding. Because spirituality, living the kingdom life, is a mindset. I'll say it again. Spirituality, or living the kingdom life, The practical kingdom life, it begins with a mind set. Your mind must be set right. So depending upon the way that your mind is set, we can say that you are more focused on the things of men, or you are more focused on the things of God. Of course, the things of God is talking about the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, the things that the Holy Spirit has done. Because the flesh can do some things, and the Spirit of God can also do some things. The Bible says that instead of being mindful of the things of the flesh, you know, we should think about, or we should have a mind set on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? The things of the Spirit is talking about what? It's talking about what the Holy Spirit has done for us. Wonderful. The things of the Spirit is talking about love. The Holy Spirit, by His presence in us, has shed love abroad in our hearts. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 or so. That's the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has shed love, agape, unconditional love abroad in our hearts. So instead of thinking, setting our minds on the fact that, well, I am a human being, and then I can't help it, if you don't greet me too, I don't greet you, if you don't respect me too, I don't respect you. You have seen people like that. That is the flesh. The mind is so set on the flesh. But we can set the mind on the things of the... What has the Holy Spirit done in you? He has shed abroad His love, His agape in you. If your mind is set like that, then you know that no matter how people treat me, they cannot control me. Otherwise, you are not a king in life. Otherwise, people are controlling your behavior, whether you smile at them or not. Some people dictate it, and then you respond. Then you are a puppet, and those people are the one pulling the strings and determine whether you laugh at them or you smile at them or whatever. Hallelujah. That is not a king. A king is in charge of himself. That is why God cannot be manipulated. That is why you cannot act as a counselor for God. The Bible says that who has given him advice? Whoever has influenced the way that God must love. The Bible says that even when we were sinners, He went out of His way without our request and all that. He went out of His way to love us. And that is His kind of love, which the Holy Spirit has shed abroad in our hearts. So that what? So that our minds will be fixed on the things of the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, the human spirit, and then the Holy Spirit, they are all the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on those things. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, that is what I am. That is what my sister is. That is what my brother in the church is. Because the Holy Spirit is with the person. Hallelujah. Instead of setting my mind on the fact that, well, he is a very, maybe, lazy person. Oh, no. Oh, no. I will set my mind on the fact that he is a hardworking person. Wonderful. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work laziness in people. The Holy Spirit works hardworking people. Hallelujah. So I would rather set my mind on those and think about my brother and my sister like that. When I do that, I have a positive attitude towards them. It brings out the hard work inside of them. It brings their mind to the fact that, hey, I thought I was lazy, but this guy relates with me and gives me an assignment that is predicated on the fact that I am a hardworking person. So the person rises up and then he conquers the laziness in his life. Whether you are going to live a practical kingdom life or not, it depends on how your mind is. Whether it's full of the things of God, the things that the Holy Spirit has done, or it is full of the things of men. Logic will say, hey, if you do that, people are not going to see who they really are. Really? No way. It's not like that. Do you want to know who people really are? It is because of Christ. It's because of Christ that we are what we are. But who we really are, I tell you. Because if you become a believer, The old things have passed away. That's an expression for die. The person has passed. Has passed away. But God doesn't take the corpse away. I hope you know that. The corpse is still with you. You live in the corpse. It's dead. There is no good thing inside of it. What gives it life is the spirit which is inside. Hallelujah. So the old nature is still with you. Even when your mind is set on the things of God, the old nature is trying to bring your attention to it. That is why the Bible says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Paul put it this way. The Holy Ghost put it this way through the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said that, behold, all things are new. Behold means that look or see. Focus on the new. All things, they are dead. Don't feed on corpse. Don't feed on the carnal nature. Don't think about me, I'm very jealous. That's the way I am. Me, I'm very angry. That's the way. No, that is not what you are. What you are is what Jesus is. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Don't you know your own self, how that Jesus is in you? Don't you know that you must know yourself on the basis of Jesus in you, because he is your life? So behold the new. Focus on the things of the Spirit. Be mindful of the things of the Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have faith in God and the Holy Spirit's work more than faith in the flesh. Do you know some people have more faith in their flesh? They know that, look, me, if you bring this food my way, even when I'm full, I'll eat it. And so they will tell you like, don't bring it at all. Well, there is a strategy, there is a good strategy by that, you see. But I hope it is not because of the fact that you trust in your flesh more than the Holy Spirit and his work in your life. Hallelujah. He has done something wonderful for us. The flesh and the devil want us to focus on ourselves. As long as we focus on ourselves, our religious ways, our religious understanding and all that, we are not going to live a practical kingdom life. But when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on what he's done for us, when we focus on the things of the Spirit, he knows that we will have victory over him and live that practical kingdom life the way God wants us to live. Hallelujah. Wonderful. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Death here is talking about separation from God. To be carnally minded is separation from God. In other words, to be carnally minded is to separate yourself from the things of God, the kingdom ways of God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at Paul's attitude. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Can you see that? He's talking to believers. So he has to make sure that he puts things right. He tells them, the thing is that you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. That is how you have to see yourself. Don't see yourself as somebody in the flesh trying to get into the Spirit. See yourself as somebody in the Spirit that the flesh is trying to infiltrate. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Then you can live a practical kingdom life, because that belief, that leaning on, trusting in what God has done, is going to release his directions, his wisdom into your life for that situation. You say, oh, but I haven't prayed much. You know, I haven't prayed much. How can God direct me? How can God talk to me? He said that in all your ways, acknowledge him. Do you know what that one means? It means that whatever you are doing, acknowledge him doesn't necessarily mean pray. It means be mindful of him. Be mindful of what he has done in all your ways. Be mindful. See that when you are mindful like that, of course, it can lead you to pray. It can lead you to read the Bible. It can lead you to do whatever thing. But he didn't say read the Bible or pray. He just said acknowledge. Acknowledge means that recognize him. When you recognize him, he says that he will direct your path. Direct your path. You know what that one means? It means that God is going to look at the natural circumstances around you and direct it. The Hebrew says that he will smoothen your path. It also means that he will straighten your path. Not straightening you, but straightening the path that you have to pass. Hallelujah. So that you can have progress in your life, not obstructions and obstacles. Hallelujah. Because wisdom brings progress. It is a way that we can do things to realize a desired future that God has got for us. Says that just acknowledge me, trust me. You know, trust is a passive faith, so to speak. Faith is more active than trust. Expectation is another component, you know. He says that trusting somebody, it's like an attitudinal thing. That you trust your wife, you trust your husband, you know. It's an attitudinal thing that makes you do some things, you know, and defend the person in a certain way. It's just an attitude. It's not too active. It's just a passive kind of faith that you have. Oh, I trust my pastor. It's a passive kind of faith that you have. Not that active. Passive says that trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Passively trust in him. And when you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. He will direct your path. There is no way circumstances which the devil, who is the god of this world, can use to misdirect you and all that will prevail. Those circumstances will not prevail. Because although the devil may mean it to evil, God will turn it to good in your life. And he will not understand. But that is what rulership is about. You know how God rules in this world? It's as if the devil is in charge. But he is really in charge. He is the one who is in charge. His rule is so mysterious that whereas he doesn't cancel the rule of the devil, because he is a god of this world and his lease is not over. He's not been bound yet, you know. He is still around. But God super rules. In other words, he just uses even the bad things that the devil is doing to bless your life. Yeah, it ends well. And he has not legally canceled out Satan's dominion that he got legitimately, you know, from people who do not believe that Jesus Christ got it back for us. And so they give Satan still the permission, directly and indirectly, to rule. But we know that we can stop his rule and we can be in charge. You think he's in charge, but he is not really the one in charge. At the end of the day, you see that the kingdom will be given to the saints of the Most High. That's what Daniel said. It's wonderful. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.